Corporate culture is a buzzword, but it's been around for a long time. On today's episode of Innova Radio, we're going to talk about it.
Welcome to Innova Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
It's the April episode of Innova Radio, and I apologize for being away for a couple of months. I've moved twice. We sold our house, so we had to move once into storage and then into another house, and so we closed on that house. About a week later, we closed on the house we bought, so I had to move in there, get everything situated, get everything organized, and got my office set up, and I'm really happy about all of that. And so it's taken a few months to kind of get to everything together, and so I apologize for being away for about 3 or 4 months, but I hope you understand. So corporate culture is kind of a buzzword. There's a lot of people that have been talking about it, and so I just I spent some time during this interim time where I knew I was going to be not being able to record, do some podcasting and things like that, to do some research, some journal articles. In my position as a adjunct faculty, I get access to all the cool journal stuff. And so I did some work on corporate culture it's an interesting concept, and so I just want to talk a little bit about it today. I may bleed over into another episode in the next episode. So, but let's kind of talk about what it is and how you can inspect it, how you can find it, and then some interesting things about it. So, corporate culture at its most basic answers the question, what's it like to work at your company? Or what's it like to work in my company? What is the environment? What are the spoken and unspoken rules? What are the things that I need to look out for? The politics, who does what, when, how, all those spoken and unspoken environmental things that really define how business or how whatever you're doing, how all of that gets done. And so it's a broad subject, and at its core it really is, what's it like to work at your company? The culture is defined by words, is not defined by words, but by actions. And at its most basic, that really is what it is. But even that to some degree is superficial. It's the norms, this is the norms, the stories, the symbols. But the behavioral patterns, the behaviors, really reflect a deeper and more fundamental level of a culture, which are the businesses or organizations' shared assumptions and values. So your behavior is expressive of a set of values and assumptions. These actions really are determined by an implicit or explicit belief statements, set of implicit or explicit belief statements. They don't always correspond to written mission and value statements, but by internalized, unspoken beliefs and assumptions. Given enough time, though, a person that's observant and that asks questions can determine what those actions are and what those beliefs are, and might be able to uncover some things, behaviors and patterns and beliefs and assumptions that no one really understood where they came from in the beginning, or where they have come from. They may be a century old and nobody really understands the background of that. But if you're observant and ask questions, listen, pay attention, you can uncover those things. For example, if you're told that your ideas matter, but every time you bring up an idea for a project or for something to be done, or you have an idea and it either gets dismissed or it gets shelved, you're basically being told that your ideas don't matter. Now, that could be just not your ideas, but everybody else's ideas. There are times, I've had someone say to me, I don't have all the great ideas, so I want you to come to me with ideas and let's talk about them and, potentially execute on those. Every time I went to that person and said, hey, what about this, it got either dismissed or put on the back burner, to the point that it really demonstrated that that person was not interested in my ideas. And it didn't get executed because it wasn't my idea. It wasn't his idea. And so if you observe it, if you understand those things, if you look for those things, look for those behavior patterns, they can really begin to tell you what's going on within a company. And then here are just a few questions or a few things to look for. Also be observant about when you're trying to understand the culture, uncover the culture. And so if you can answer these questions, this gives you some insight into the culture in which your organization operates. The first one is, what's being inspected? What are people looking for? What are your firm's managers? What are the leaders within your organization? What are they looking for? What are they asking about? What are they seeing that gets done? What kind of questions? What kind of I had someone tell me this company was a publishing services company, and he said to me, so we measure corporate success, and in other words, part of our culture is the story, by the stories that we hear from our customers. And so when he did performance reviews, he wasn't interested in a lot of things. What he was interested in are the stories that their customers had told to the person he was reviewing, and they kept those. They kept them in a notebook, and they would read them, and they would make a big deal out of those. And so how can you make the lives? The idea was, how can you make your customers' lives better, and so that their story. They get to share their story with other people, and particularly back to this company. And so he measured and inspected the stories of how the customers' lives gotten better through interaction with his company. And they were very profitable, very successful companies. What gets expected? What gets rewarded? So if you can look around and you can see the kinds of behaviors that are getting rewarded, the kinds of ideas that are getting rewarded, the kinds of activities that are being rewarded, and what gets rewarded gets repeated. And it shows you what they're looking for. The kinds of ideas, the kinds of behaviors, the kinds of thoughts, the kinds of actions, all of that tells you what they're looking for. And you can tell what's really important to a manager, to a leader, when you see what gets rewarded. Another question that you can ask is what's getting rejected? What ideas are getting rejected? What concepts are getting rejected? What actions are being rejected is a bad word, but what kind of behaviors are being not rewarded, but coached out? That's another bad phrase, but you get the idea that we don't. The manager is basically saying, the leader is basically saying, we don't want to encourage this behavior, so we're not going to reward it. We're actually going to discourage it. And so what's being rejected? Ideas, behaviors, thoughts, what's being rejected? And then the fourth, and it really kind of goes along with the second one about being rewarded. What's getting praised? Where do you hear that leader praising other people, praising your coworkers, praising you? What's being praised? What's being talked about? Now, there's a lot of situations in where that behavior, where what is being praised doesn't make it out. You never hear it because the manager or the leader doesn't really praise anybody. And so that becomes a hard one. But if you can find instances where people are being praised, that also will give you insight into the organization, the culture, the overall culture of the organization. What's it look like? What's a winning culture look like? What's a culture that's encouraging and productive and moving forward where people want to work? What's that look like? Well, give you look a few things here. First, their words and their actions align, so they, from a leadership standpoint, they do what they say they're going to do. And if they say we're going to reward this kind of behavior and that behavior is rewarded, then that's an alignment. If they say I want you to come to me with your ideas because I don't have all the good ideas, and then when you come to them with good ideas, not just what you think are good ideas, but what others think are good ideas, and they get dismissed or rejected or just shelved, then that's not aligned. The words and actions are not aligned. And so that's look for is what they're saying matching what they're doing. So that's one characteristic. A winning culture emphasizes three areas. The first one is serving the customer. Second is growing the business. And third is developing their employees. And if they're doing that in a healthy way, if they're doing all of those, then you know that you're in an organization that's certainly on track to having a winning culture, and it's a track that you want to be a part of. When you try to do what's best for the customer, whether it's a service organization or it's an actual product that you have created, when you're trying to do what's best for the customer, when you're working to do what's best for the organization, and you're working to do what's best for the employees who run the who work in the organization, you know you have a culture that's a potential winner. But a losing culture looks just the opposite. It's the actions and the words don't align. So you have people not doing what they say they're going to do. It's confusing and complex. It places the customer needs over the corporate needs. And then thirdly, it emphasizes personal gain over team achievements. And this really is a what's best for me mindset. How can I get ahead? How can I make more money? How can I step up, climb up the ladder? It's not what's best for the customer, what's best for the other. It's what's best for me. There's a selfishness there that exhibits a culture that's not probably a place you're not going to want to be in. Now, let's talk about employees. Let's talk about hiring for a minute. Employees will gravitate towards organizations with leaders who have the same beliefs or mission as they do. And that's just natural. There are things that are in common there, and mindset, thinking, and we're going to gravitate toward them. So employees are going to gravitate that way. Leaders and managers will hire employees with those same beliefs. That, again, is just kind of a natural aspect of who we are. That doesn't make it necessarily right. It just is reality. And that's because leaders and managers are judged on their employees' actions. So they're going to want to hire somebody who will make the right decision. And I'm using air quotes around right here. It's really the right decision is the decision that the manager or the leader would make themselves. And in doing that, they create this homogenous organization because everybody starts to think the same way. And that's very different than the culture at large. And when that happens, the employees have really internalized the manager's beliefs. Now, that can be a very good thing. I'm a diehard Alabama fan, unabashedly so, and Nick Saban talks about the process. Focus on what you have to do for this particular play, for each play, and don't worry about the scoreboard. Just worry about doing your job in this particular. And so when those teams all have that same mindset, when they're all focused on that, then those teams excel, and that's a good thing. At the same time, from a coaching staff standpoint, Saban is constantly having staff turnover because people are hiring his staff. And so when that happens, he brings in people with different ideas. So he doesn't bring in yes people. He brings in people with different ideas, and those ideas get permeated through the organization. And you can tell that when he brought in Lane Kiffin. I mean, that was oil and water, and it was a difficult difficult leadership practice for Nick Saban, simply because of who Lane is and his personality and his mentality. But it made the team better, and it led to a couple of national championships. And so hiring, you want people that have the same understanding and the same core, the same mentality and the same mindset, but you don't want yes people. You want people that will challenge you as a leader. You want people that will challenge you. You want people that will push you, that will make you better. And that's healthy for the culture, because otherwise the culture gets very stagnant and very boring and very calcified. And when that happens, you have to bring in someone else outside the organization generally, who has a different view of the culture, to break all that apart, break it up so that the organization can move forward. But that's not always a home run either, because the person you bring in can, unbeknownst to you, have a similar mindset, a similar idea of the culture, and so the culture really doesn't change. Or they can bring in such a drastic change that they don't stay around very long, either because they're fired or because the battles are just too great, and so they just decide to move on. So culture is a big deal, and when you're in a culture that is complicated when actions and words don't align, it's very frustrating to continue. You struggle with productivity. You struggle with innovation. You struggle with adaptation. You struggle with a lot of things. And sometimes as an employee, you have to change to find the right fit for you. And the problem is, in cultures that are not winning, is nobody's evaluating the culture. Nobody's asking the questions about the culture. Nobody is, particularly the leaders, because they don't really care. They're just going to do what they're going to do. But there's this constant need to evaluate, to ask questions, to create an openness so that people can challenge, and people can see that challenge is met with listening and learning, as opposed to being dismissive. And so that's what I would encourage you as a leader: to be open and listening and learning, listening to the people that you lead, watching them, watching how they experience and impact the culture in your organization, how they communicate to your customers, communicate to your stakeholders, and make sure that the words and actions align. So listen, be observant, evaluate, and have others evaluate you. 360 leadership profiles are hugely important, because people get to evaluate you and see if you're at your actions and values align. So those are some things that you can do to help make sure that the culture in which you lead, or the culture in which you work, are healthy and winning. And so I hope you can take this information, and just do your own evaluation, and make sure that you're in a culture that you appreciate, that you can lead in, you can serve in, and you can move forward in your career, in your leadership. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Innovo Radio. Check out my website, wdavidphillips.com.
It's got information about me and some services that I offer and some things that I can do for you, and I'd love to be able to serve you any way I can. Also, it's got links there to my Facebook page, my Twitter account, all those things. You can find an archive of podcast episodes, my blog, some things that I write on, and all that stuff. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you have a great day.
Thanks for listening in today, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.